This morning is Christ the King Sunday, as we recognize the Lordship of Christ. But we also wrap up our series that we've been working through throughout the fall as we trace Israel's time of growing up. And we're in a time where Israel is ruled by kings, and in truth, not very many good ones. And we're going to look today at one of those few who are highlighted in Scripture as a preview of what King Jesus will be, as one who is righteous and faithful despite the brokenness and the idolatry around him. This is King Josiah, and we read the story, at least in part, in 2 Kings chapter 22. Verse 1 of chapter 22, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he ruled for 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidiah. She was Adiah's daughter and was from Bosra. He did what was right in the Lord's eyes, and he walked in the ways of his ancestor David, not deviating from it even a bit, to the left or the right. In the 18th year of Josiah's rule, he sent the secretary, Shaphan, Azaliah's son, to the Lord's temple with the following orders. Go to the high priest Hilkiah, have him carefully count the money that has been brought to the Lord's temple and has been collected by all the people, by the doorkeepers. It should be given to the supervisors in charge of the Lord's temple, who in turn should pay it to those who are in the Lord's temple repairing the temple, the carpenters, the builders, the masons. It should be used to pay for the lumber and quarry stone to repair the temple, but there's no need to check on them regarding the money they receive because they are honest workers. The priest of Hilkiah told Shaphan the secretary, I have found the instruction scroll in the Lord's temple. And then Hilkiah turned the scroll over to Shaphan, who read it. Shaphan the secretary went up to the king and reported this to him. Your officials have released the money that was found in the temple, and they have handed it over to those who supervise the work in the Lord's temple. But then the secretary told the king, Hilkiah the priest has given me a scroll. And he read it out loud before the king. As soon as the king heard what the instruction scroll said, he ripped his clothes. The king ordered the priest, the secretary, and the royal officers to follow. Go and ask the Lord on my behalf, and on behalf of the people, concerning the contents of this scroll. The Lord must be furious with us, because our ancestors failed to obey the words of this scroll and do everything written in them. It's the word of the Lord for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
It's not a story we hear very often. It's a story about reconstruction, or at least fixing up or refurbishing of the temple. The temple had been sort of ignored and let go for about 250 years. Nobody had paid a whole lot of mind to its maintenance. And I can ask the trustees here, how would you feel if you walked back into this building after about 250 years with nobody touching it? That'd be a great trustees meeting. Things happen in 250 years of a building that is not kept up. And that's what had happened to the temple. And Josiah comes into power. And Josiah is one that we read in 2 Chronicles 34, that he came into power when he was only 8 years old. He was a child. But as a child, it says that he did what was right in the Lord's eyes. He walked in the ways of his ancestor David, not deviating from it. And in the 8th year of his rule, he began to seek the God of his ancestor David. Now, the irony about Josiah and this boy who would seek the Lord is that he didn't have a lot of good role models. His father only ruled for a couple of years before he was killed. His grandfather, Manasseh, is known as one of, if not the worst king in all of Israel's history in terms of idolatry. You see, years before Josiah came, Assyria had already wiped out the 10 northern tribes of Israel. God's people were in trouble. Not long after they wiped out the 10 northern tribes, they began to pursue Judah, the southern tribes. And as Assyria attacked Judah, both scripture and history tell us about a king named Hezekiah. another righteous king, another one of the few. Hezekiah and Josiah really stand out as the only two major righteous kings in Israel's history after David and Solomon. And Hezekiah, due to humanly inexplicable means, but by his faith in the Lord, managed to save Jerusalem from the Assyrian onslaught. Historians record that this doesn't make sense. Yes, there were some great feats of engineering and military strategy, but by and large, we know that they defeated Assyria because the Lord fought for them because of Hezekiah's faithfulness. Israel was finally starting to turn around, but Hezekiah's descendant, Manasseh, went the other direction. Went just the way we saw last week with Solomon's sons. They began to go back into idolatry. They began to credit their own strength for the power and success that Israel had. They sinned greatly in the eyes of the Lord. And Manasseh's sin was so great, to the point of even participating and encouraging child sacrifice and other horrendous sins against God and against the people. His sin was so great that it was declared that because of Manasseh's sin, eventually Judah would go the way of the northern kingdoms, the northern tribes, that they too would be exiled. And we know that eventually that happens in Babylon. Josiah inherits this throne as a boy who is seeking God, but when he looks back to his father, and especially his grandfather, he doesn't have a good role model for seeking God. He has to go all the way back to his ancestor David, remembering how the kingdom started, remembering what God was up to and why David was called in the first place. So there's something special about this boy that he would seek the Lord despite multiple generations. Here was a boy who was going to break the cycle. You know, there are always those times in life when we look back and we realize mom and dad were more right than we thought they were, maybe more right than we wanted them to be. But for some people, they might have to look back a little further. There are people who look back through their generations, through their family tree, and they think, there's no way. I don't want to repeat those mistakes. I don't want to treat my family the way they treated me when I was growing up. I don't want to pass on that cycle of violence or abuse or addiction or harm or whatever else it is. They have to look back to grandparents, maybe great-grandparents. Maybe they have to look to another family altogether, a friend's family, and say, man, I wish I could be like their parents instead. The tragedy is that not all families have a good legacy to pass down. And the tragedy is that some of us have not inherited good family legacies when it comes to our spiritual life. And Josiah certainly did not. And yet, here was a boy who looked deep back into his history, into his great, 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 and so forth, grandfather David, and said, there's somebody in my family, even if it's way back there, that's worth emulating, that's worth following his example. And so that's why he decided to fix up the temple. That's why he said, look, this is what David and Solomon was all about. This is what the kingdom was built on, was this temple that we had ignored for 250 years. And so let's get it fixed up. Let's bring in the carpenters. Let's bring in everybody. No, spare no expense to get this temple back at the center of our life, of our people. And as the priest and the secretary and others are cleaning out the temple, they find a scroll. Some scholars have said that this scroll is at least excerpts of, if not the full text, of what we know as the book of Deuteronomy, the book of the law of God's people. Imagine the people of God. And remember, back in Deuteronomy, it was declared that this law should be read to the people by the king every year. And here it is, collecting dust in this temple that hasn't been touched for centuries. It's no wonder the people had gone so far astray. The word of God, the commands of God, the law of God had been tucked aside. Nobody even noticed. And when Josiah read it and he realized what it was, he ripped his clothes and he repented. He said, go ask the Lord, clarify, make sure this is what we're looking at here. And once he realized this is truly the law of the Lord, he says, God must be furious with our ancestors for not obeying the words in this scroll. His act of repentance is overwhelming. He goes to a prophetess down later on in the chapter named Huldah, and he asks, what can we do? How do we fix this mess that my ancestors have created? And here's her reply in verse 15, and it's not as encouraging as we might like. She replies, this is what the Lord God of Israel says. Tell this to the man who sent you to me. This is what the Lord says, that I am about to bring disaster on this place and on its citizens. All the words in the scroll that Judah's king has read, my anger burns against this place, never be quenched, because they have deserted me. They have burned incense to other gods. They have angered me in everything they have done. But say this also to the king of Judah, because your heart was broken, and because you submitted before the Lord, when you heard what I said about this place and its citizens, that they will become a horror and a curse, and because you ripped your clothes and cried before me, I have listened to you, declared the Lord. That is why I will gather you to your ancestors, and you will go down to your grave in peace. You won't experience the disaster that I am about to bring on this place. See, Israel's fate was already sealed. Manasseh and other kings had driven them so far away from God that God knew that the only way he was going to return them was to send them into exile, was to allow them to suffer and to learn again to be strangers in a strange land and to depend fully on him and not on their own political and economic and military strength as a nation. They had to once again be oppressed, to know what it meant to depend on the Lord and to be his people alone. He understood that, but he also understood that Josiah was a rare king indeed. That Josiah was truly repentant. That Josiah truly wanted to return the people to God. And so he says, I won't bring this disaster until after you have passed. In other words, by Josiah's faithfulness, though he could not eliminate the consequences of his ancestors' actions, he could at least break the cycle and save his entire generation. He could make a difference for the people who lived in Israel of his day. And that's, friends, what we are called to do. There may be things in our lives that we can't change the consequences of, that things that have gone way past, maybe mistakes we've made in the past, mistakes our ancestors made in the past, mistakes the church has made in the past throughout history. We can't fix all that. And when we look at especially the decline of the church, you know what? We may not be able to save it. We may not be able to guarantee that the doors of this building will be open in another 100 or 200 years. We cannot guarantee that our denomination will still exist in 5 years or two. We can't save anything from the consequences that have befallen it. We can't save our nation. We can't save anything from the consequences that have already been set in motion by our mistakes and our sins as people at any level. But what we can do is respond like Josiah, to say, you know what? No matter the consequences, no matter how bad things get, even if everything is lost, today, this day, I and everyone around me will be faithful. We will do what the Lord commanded. And because of his faithfulness, God spared Josiah and his generation from experiencing the suffering of exile. Josiah understood the words from Deuteronomy. When God says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you right now, this is from Deuteronomy 30, I have set life and death, blessing and curse. Now choose life, that you and your descendants will live, by loving the Lord God and by obeying his voice and by clinging to him. That's how you will survive and live long in the fertile land God swore to your ancestors. And then Joshua's own story, as he comes into the promised land in Joshua chapter 24, when Joshua says to the people, so now revere the Lord, serve him honestly and faithfully, put aside the gods that your ancestors served, beyond the Euphrates and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if it seems wrong in your opinion to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Choose the gods whom your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, the gods of the Amorites in the land where you live. But my family and I will serve the Lord. This is the kind of declaration that Josiah is now making, echoing the declaration of the people in Deuteronomy, of Joshua and his family, that no matter what will fall and crumble around us, we will serve the Lord. On one hand, this is a story about how the people of God didn't know their story. They weren't aware because the law had been tucked away behind the temple doors. The story wasn't taught. The priests didn't preach it. And the people did not know who they were called to be. And once they found out, when Josiah brought it forth, the people repented at least for a time and at least for a season. But ironically, the story is still repeated today. Because for so many people in our world, the Word of God is closed up behind these stained glass windows. Only gets pulled out on Sunday mornings. It's not always open in our homes. It's not always passed down to our children and our grandchildren as overly important. It's just sort of something we do when we go to church. And we wonder why people have forgotten the ways of the Lord. Josiah said, you know what? I don't care if everybody else has forgotten. I don't care if nobody else follows. I don't care if I'm assassinated as king because everybody decided, you know what? We want to go another direction. We want to follow our own ways. Get rid of him. Give us a king. Go do what we want. He didn't care about any of that. He says, I will be faithful to the law that I have received, the word of God that I know. No matter what. In a sense, he says, I'm going to do it anyway. And so I close with this word of encouragement attributed to Mother Teresa. It was found on the wall of her home for children in Calcutta. It's called Do It Anyway. This is the kind of faith that Josiah models for us. She says, people are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people might accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people may deceive you, but be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend years creating, others could destroy or mine. But create anyway. If you find severity and happiness, some may be jealous. But be happy anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten, but do good anyway. Give the best you have, and it will never be enough. But do your best anyway. In the final analysis, she says, it's between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. It doesn't matter what happens with the world around us. Yes, we grieve for the world. Yes, we bear witness to the world. Yes, we do all we can to show love to the world and to help them know the love of Christ. But in the end, it's not about us and them. It's about where we stand before God. And have we obeyed the word as he has given to us? Be faithful anyway. Let us go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, there are times in our life where faithfulness doesn't seem to matter. There are times when we try to pray and it seems like you're not even there to answer, and yet you call us to pray anyway. Never cease calling on you. Never cease in our spirit of repentance and righteousness. No matter how absurd it seems, no matter how little difference it seems to make, may we follow the example of Josiah to seek you with all of our hearts and to risk everything to call those around us to a faithful life, the life that you model for us in your Son, Jesus, who was willing to be faithful no matter what the cost, even unto death. Let us too take up our cross and follow him. In Jesus' precious name, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray.